All right, here we are again, Wednesday night. What did we start last week? You guys remember we started a new series? Hi, whoever said hi. What's up? Do you remember what we studied? What's the new series? You remember, yeah, what?
Superman,
yes. Okay, that was true. You were wearing a Superman shirt. I still remember it. No, it's the Hulk tonight. We saw things that were blurry in a video. Remember that? And then all of a sudden, what happened?
We got clear.
They came into focus, and that's the name of our series, right? What book are we studying? Do you remember?
Colossians.
Good job. You guys remember him. Now we got it primed. Awesome. So this week, we're in part two of that, and we're looking at Colossians. We're still in chapter 1, verses 9 to 14 is what we're going to look at tonight. Last week, we saw how the gospel changes our view on things. It kind of makes things come into focus. When we understand what Jesus did for us, it helps us understand what life is really about and what actually matters. And we get sometimes this weird view of what we think is important. But then when we look at the gospel, it kind of helps us see what really is important, and it helps us focus. And so this week we're going to look at a very similar thing. We're still looking on how to come into focus here, but we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 is where we're going to start tonight. And as you guys, if you have phones or Bibles or whatever you're going to look at, go ahead and pop them open to there. And while you do, I'm going to need a volunteer to help me illustrate something here tonight.
Colin.
Wow.
This kid right here.
You kind of scared me there. Okay, he's sitting back down. All right, come on up, Colin. All right. This is what's up, dude. All right, I'm going to give you a piece of chocolate. You're going to get a reward, okay? But you're going to be able to do something for me. Thing is, I'm not going to tell you what it is you have to do. You have to figure it out on your own. And if you're able to figure it out, then you get a reward. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
So when I say go, try to figure out what it is I want you to do. Ready? Go.
Do 50 jumping
jacks. Clean the toilet.
catch in my mouth. Dude, you want me to
take this home?
I have no idea.
Open the chocolate.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, this is what I would like you to do. Thank you for asking. I would like you to go hand this out and give it to somebody of your choice. Now, Colin, listen, no, you're not done, because since you were so generous and so smart to figure that out, it was really, really hard for you to figure out what I wanted you to do, right, without me telling you?
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
I asked for it.
You asked me, right? And then when I told you, it made things very clear. And because you did that, you're going to get another reward.
Yeah.
Okay? You like Starburst?
Wow. Yeah.
All right, well, here's the deal.
You have to give half to somebody else.
Here's the deal. You can have these unless you know what to do. So it's your choice. What do you think you should do?
Give it to someone else.
Colin.
Well, just give it away. Just give it totally away. You can get it back later. All right, well, since you do that, you're not done yet, all right? To not belabor the point, I'm just going to give you a whole bag of candy, okay? Take it and go. Good. All right, and you can hand that out later if you want. Otherwise, you can keep it and eat it for yourself. Now here, thank you for helping me illustrate something. Listen up. I know you guys get lots of candy tonight. I don't know how that ever happened, but next time we'll use sugar-free. So here's the deal. When Colin had no idea what to do, what was he doing? Yeah, nothing. What a very simple answer. You were very confused,
yeah,
right? You're like, I have no idea what you want me to do, Rob. So what do? You ask. Okay, well, here's the deal. God's got a plan for you. We saw that last week. Remember, we talked about how God has a plan for every single one of us. And some of you are like, what are you talking about? I'm in junior high. How could God have a plan for me? I don't get what you're saying, right? You got it, though. Well, that's good. Well, I'm glad some of you got it. Some of you are still like, I'm not sure. So this week, what we're actually looking at, listen, Paul is very good to take that next little piece that we're going to study and now talk to us about how we can know that. And so we're going to see this. Last week was a view of the gospel. This week we're going to have a view of what God's will is. We're going to see, what is that plan? How do I know the plan? How do I know what it is God wants me to do? And if we don't ask, we're not going to know. We're just going to stand there like Colin, like, what do you want me to do, God? And you kind of feel that way, like, God, you're telling me to do something, but like, what is it? Well, that's a great question, and it's the same question you should just simply ask God, and He'll want to answer you. And we're going to see that tonight in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. So hopefully you're there. I'm going to read it now. Here we go. It says, "And so, from the day we heard, we've not ceased or stopped praying for you, asking that you may be filled," check this part out, "with the knowledge of His," what?
Will.
Will. Remember that word there, okay? "In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." Whew. "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, Paul loves to use big words. We just saw it right there. He's using all sorts of big words. And I don't want us to hear that and go, "I have no idea what you just said, Paul." Because you said, like, redemption and transference and qualifying. What is all that stuff you're saying? So let's tear it apart and see. So go with me to verse 9. Let's just start there. Pretty simple. Verse 9 says, "And so," because everything we just learned last week, how important this gospel is, how it should change our view on life. Because of all that, he's saying, "From the day we heard that you believed it, we've not ceased to pray for you." How cool that Paul hears this and is so pumped that these people got saved and believe in Jesus. Guess what he does? He's like, "I'm just going to pray." And what do you think Paul's praying? Any ideas? What do you think he's praying for these people? Oh, look at that. He tells us, right? So this whole next part is his prayer. And he's going to tell us, "This is what I'm praying over you." Now, the gist of this thing is that they can figure out what it is God wants for their life, that they can grow to look more and more like God. So here's what I want us to do tonight. Rather than just talk about it and have Paul tell us and all this stuff, I want you to do it. I'm going to ask you, just with like three or four people around you, for the next like 3 minutes, I just want you to get together. And this is what I want you to do. I just want you to pray that prayer over each other. Pray that the people around you can grow in Christ. All right? Simple, easy. Don't do prayer requests. Just pray over each other and say, "God, help so-and-so, whoever it is next to you, grow to look more like Jesus." All right? And then in 3 minutes, I'm going to cut you off. When you hear the music stop, we're going to play a little music so you can like pray and not hear everybody talking. And when music stops, we're going to come back and finish our message. Okay? So ready? Go. All right, I'm going to pray to close us here, and then we'll get back into our message. So bow your heads with me real quick as we finish. Lord, thank you that we get to spend some time together and just talk to you and to be sitting with people that we love and that love you. And God, I pray for every person in this room, just like we prayed in our circles, God, that you would help us to know what you want for our lives, that we would understand your will to the point where we could start to look like you, we could start to live like you and breathe like you and talk like you. Because that's what this whole thing's all about, God. You made us, and you want us to be yours. And I pray, Father, that that you would be gracious with us tonight as we study your word, that you would help us to understand, give us clarity. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I love the fact that Paul prays for these people. He has it burdened on his heart to do that because he loves them. And he loves that they love Jesus. Now, here's the deal. I love you guys, and I love that you love Jesus, so I pray for you all the time. I hope that as you look around you in your circles, that you feel that same way about the people in your group, that you look around your fire station, you're like, man, I love you guys, and I love that you love Jesus, and that we don't cease praying for each other. Because that's what the body of Christ looks like. As you guys come here and you get together in your groups, pray for each other. Love each other enough to bring your names up before God and pray that we stay strong. That as you're walking through your schools, that you don't give in to temptation, that you're loving to your teachers and your friends at school, and that you're able to share Christ with other people. All right, so look what he says next. After that, he goes, this is what the prayer is, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So here's the deal. My biggest prayer, Paul says, for you is that you understand what God's will is. Now, I just told you, we talked last week about how God has a plan, and we're like, God, what's that plan? Like, what's your will? Paul's praying that they get it. They get what God's will is. And some of you guys are looking for specifics, so you're like, God, am I going to be a mechanic? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be whatever? And you've got your list, like, tell me exactly what it is you want me to do, where you want me to go to school. I need all the answers right now. Chill out, you're in junior high, okay? It's okay, you don't need to know yet, so don't stress out. But what you do need to know is this. God's will is right here ready for you to know today. Like, you can leave here and know what God's will is for you. Because the Holy Spirit can reveal to your heart exactly what it is, and the Word of God tells us here exactly what it is that all of us need to know about God's will for us. Now, if we just look in here, we're going to see it, but I wonder if you could just think about Scripture and say, what is God's will for us from some stuff you already know about Scripture? Any ideas? You think maybe, did Jesus tell us what God's will is at some point? We walked through the gospel life and heard how Jesus was teaching people and all the stuff that he was doing. Did he maybe give us a clue at what God's will is for every single one of us? Any ideas? I see you're thinking. Any guesses? How about when he summarized the law? You guys remember that? Some of you guys are like, oh, yeah. How did Jesus summarize the law? They're like, hey, yeah. No. Not quite. That's not what I'm looking for here. He brought it down to two things, right? He said, I'm just going to summarize it all in two big commandments. These are the greatest ones. This is how we summarize the whole thing up. What were those two things? Yeah, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's like, that's it. That's God's will for us. If I were to wrap everything up and summarize it into two things, God's will are those two things. And guess what? The Great Commission says, and go into the world. We keep coming back to it. You're like, hey, wait a minute. That's our church mission statement. Yes, and we keep coming back because that's what we're told to do. So God's will for us is that we love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And guess what? If you really love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're going to do the things that it says in Scripture. So Jesus doesn't have to come necessarily to you every single one because they flow out of just loving God, loving him well, and loving other people. Are you going to be harmful to people that you love? Are you going to lie to people that you love? Are you going to hurt them? No, so it's going to flow out of loving people well. And so God's will for us is those very things. Love God, love people, and go into the world. If we're doing those things, all the details flow out of that. So guess what? If you're loving God well, he's going to be directing your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you, the Bible says. Don't worry so much about these details. Search God. Look for who he is. And then as you become more like him, all of a sudden the things are going to come into play because he's that big and powerful. He's going to make it happen. But look how you have to do it. It says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So it's not like you can just kind of like look into Scripture and study and kind of learn it all in your head and get like have a good grasp of it and then you're good. It says spiritual wisdom and understanding. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Anybody know? You, was it like a yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, maybe, whoa, hey.
Knowledge is when you think about something that already.
Yeah, knowledge is like you get the understanding of it. What about wisdom? How's that different? Yeah. Okay, what do you think? All right.
Knowledge is knowing, wisdom is knowing how to apply it.
Yeah. How do I take this knowledge and actually apply it to my life and do it? And so this is more than just knowing things about God or knowing who God is. It's about taking the truth that God gives us about himself and actually using it in our life, obeying what he says. So when he says, hey, don't lie, I know lying's wrong, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm following that, right? Wisdom says, I know lying's wrong, and so I'm going to not lie. I know God loves people, so I'm going to love people. You see that? So he's saying what you need to do is not just know. You need the spiritual wisdom and understanding to know that God really wants you not just to know it, but to obey and do it. And then he says that next. You see that next phrase? so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Not just know what this manner is that he wants you to walk in, but to actually walk it. To do it. Say, God, this is what you told me to do. I need to love you well. I need to love people well. And I need to share your gospel. And so I don't just know it. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it in a manner worthy of the Lord. Whoa, hold on a second. Worthy of the Lord? What do you think that is? Worthy of who?
The Lord.
Who's the Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus. Wait a minute. What is worthy of Jesus, and what is Jesus worthy of? Think a lot? Just a little bit? You're going to have to try to walk in a manner that is worthy of Jesus? Like, are those pretty big shoes to fill?
Yeah.
Holy cow. How would we ever be able to do that? That's a pretty big role to fill. That's why he says to do it in spiritual wisdom and understanding, because it's the Holy Spirit that has to be able to do this in us. The more you depend on God and on Jesus Christ, the more he does it in you. The more you love God and just say, hey, do the work in me, the more you're able to live this way. Because we can't do it on our own. And so we have to depend on Christ. You know that's what salvation is? This gospel that he just spent 8 verses talking about tells us that the gospel is us saying, I surrender it all to you, Jesus. The whole thing, because I know I can't do this. And surrendering means I just depend on you. I got to give it up to you. And look at what the next phrase says. Fully pleasing to him. So if you're walking like this and you're depending on God and you're actually applying this wisdom he's giving you, it will be fully pleasing to him. Now notice it doesn't say just like a little bit pleasing or partially pleasing. The whole thing, the whole deal, you're fully pleasing to Jesus. How can we be fully pleasing? Does that happen on just like a Sunday or Wednesday night when you come in and you act like, sweet, I love Jesus, I'm going to do worship and then I'm going to go home and then totally disobey my parents and be rude to my brothers and sisters and cause fights at home and then cheat on my tests in school and cheat on my homework? And wait a minute. Is that fully pleasing to him? To just go through the motions and come to church but then leave and not really be any different? Fully pleasing means the whole time. Like, you have my heart. And there will be times I mess up, God. I know that. That's why I'm depending on you. But my heart says the whole time's yours. My aim is that every second of the day is yours, whether I'm at home or at school or at church. There's not going to be a difference. Because I love you, and I'm going to have to depend on you. And I might mess up or not, but I'm still going to be depending on you the whole time. So I can be fully pleasing to you. And look what it says will happen. Bearing fruit in every good work. Remember when we talked about bearing fruit? We talked about like being part of the vine, that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And if we're actually connected to him, what happens? Bloop, 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 bloop. Little fruits come out, right? Kind of weird. What does that mean, little fruits come out of me? Am I not going to start growing an orange out of my ear, am I? Like, what happens? Huh? That would be kind of cool. It'd be easy just, anyway, whatever. I'd rather it be pizza than like oranges, but that's another story for another day. What is bearing fruit then? You guys remember? What's he talking about here? What is this fruit?
Oh.
That's part of it. What else?
You grow.
You grow? Absolutely, you get to grow. Somebody had a hand. What? He stole yours? We grow. How do we grow? What do we look like when we're bearing fruit? Anybody know the fruit of the Spirit? Can you name a few of the fruits of the Spirit? Woo! She got them all. Good job. You hear those? All right. Those should be characteristics of who we are. Awesome job. Now listen, the more you know Jesus, the more you start to look like Jesus, and those are the things that characterize who he was. So the more we can depend on Christ and say, what's your will? My will is for you to have love and joy and peace and patience in your heart so that you're treating other people with love and you're loving your God with all your heart. You don't have to worry about all these other details if you're doing that. I'll take care of what you end up being for a profession later on and who you end up marrying and how many kids you're going to have. Right now, the will of God for you is that you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and that you love others well. If you can do those things, God's going to take care of the details. So all of a sudden, all these other things just aren't as important, right? And we get this click, like click, we're coming even more into focus. Because those things are important, but they're not the most important. The most important is that we know the will of God, and we know what that is. That we love Him well, and that we love others, and that we share His gospel. And then it says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's a cycle. The more you become like God, the more you know Him, and the more you know Him, the more you can become like Him, and it just goes like that. The more you spend time praying, the more God can answer your prayer. The more times you're going through trials and you go to God, the more He's able to bring you through the trial. The more times you walk with God, the more times you can see Him take His fingerprints and stick them all over your life. And you'll be like, wow, there's God. Wow, there's God again. There's God intervening in my life again. Like, He's so awesome. He's everywhere. And all of a sudden, this thing is like, now I see you so much, I can be more like you. And then the more like you I am, the more I see you. And then I can be more like you even more. It's this awesome cycle that happens in our life that's called growth. And this fruit just starts to pour out all over us. You know why? Because we're not just watching from the sidelines and learning a lot about Him. We're stepping into the game. We're starting to actually have this wisdom that applies the truth He's telling us about. So think in your heart for a second, like, are you applying the things you know? Are you loving your God well? Are you opening up the Word to learn about Him? Are you praying to Him and talking to Him? Are you loving other people well? Like, how do you treat your friends? How do you treat mom and dad? How do you treat your brothers and sisters? If you go, kind of scroll back through your last couple days, how's it going? If they look at you, are they going to say, wow, they really, really love me. They really, really love God. Or are they going to be like, wow, that is one mean child I got. I pray that as we reach out to God, that's one of the things we ask Him. Give me a heart that just loves people well so that they can see it in us, okay? Here's the deal. Like we said before, we got to lean on Jesus to do this. Look at some of these words He uses. Worthy, fully, we said, fully pleasing to Him, not just partially. And then He says, in every good work, how many good works? Which ones? All of them. Every good work, fully pleasing, worthy, manner worthy. Like, these are strong words. That would imply that we're sold out. It's not just partially. It's not just some works. It's all of it. It's the whole deal. We have to give it all to Christ. The whole thing. Now, I remember this one time I went to this pool. It was like one of those public pools. And it had one of those big, big, tall like diving boards. Ever been on one of those? Kind of like freaky. If you guys are going to do the life vest thing, some of you get to jump off like the really high one. Ha! But you don't all have to anyway. But you should do it because it'll be fun. Anyway, so I was at one of those. But I have a life vest on. And I was with some friends, so I was like, I'm going to be the stud. I'm going to get up there. I'm going to do this awesome dive. I'm going to like yell and tell them all, hey, watch me, you know, I'm the coolest one here. So I get up to the end of that board, and I look down, I'm like, woo, it's a little bit higher than I thought it was. Like, oh, man, that's high. I don't know if I'm going to do this. You ever gotten up on one of those boards?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay. You ever freak out when you got up on one of those boards? It doesn't look that high when you're at the bottom, but once you get up there, you're like, woohoo, I know it's just water, but that's a long way down, you know? So I'm looking down, and my knees are shaking, and I'm like, I got to do it now, because I've been like, hey, y'all, check me out, you know? Whoa, that's high. I'm like, why did I just yell? So all the eyes are up at me. All my friends are like looking at me like, yeah, do it, do it. And I'm like, I can't do this. But I'm going to do it because there's no way out now. So I get to the end of that thing and I'm kind of like, should I even bounce? I'm scared to bounce. I might slip off it. Like, I don't know. So anyway, I just do it. It was one of those things where you just count to three and you're like, on three, I'm going. Because I just don't have a choice. I won't do it otherwise. And they'll call me a sissy. Nobody wants that. So I was like, one, two, three. And I go. But halfway through the going part, I like stop. You know, like when you freak out and you're like, nope, change my mind. I ain't doing this. But it was too late because I already jumped kind of. And I was like halfway off the board. So I did this thing where I don't even know why I thought it. I spun around like I was going to grab the board so that I wouldn't actually go. Bad idea. Let me tell you. I nailed my face, dude. I came right up under my chin like this and then scraped up all my face. So I don't even remember how I got to the water. I just remember that there were some people like pulling me out of the side of the pool. Now here's... even worse, like I'm bleeding. The next day I was all like bruised at my face. But I guess the way I hit the water, I lost my shorts. So I didn't know it. I know. I didn't know it until they pulled me out of the pool. And then I was like, whoo, that ground's cold. You know, like, so here I'm bleeding. I'm halfway unconscious and I lost my shorts. Not a good day. Okay. Now listen, all you had to do was this. All I had to do is I'm standing on this thing. is actually, I know, it was horrible. It was so embarrassing, and I had just been like, watch me, everybody, and never do that. Okay, here's the deal. If I had just totally jumped all the way and completely trusted and just fell, I would have been okay. Or maybe that, but I still would have been better than I ended up, right? The problem was that I turned around and I tried to grab on for myself. Like I gave up halfway and I didn't just trust the fall. I turned around and tried to hang on. Now, the second we try to do that with God, when we're like, no, no, God, I'm going to take this back from you, that's exactly what happens, y'all. It's so much better if we just jump out and say, take the whole thing. Just take all of me. I'm not turning back now. You know those songs, the old songs that some of the older people sing, like, no turning back, no turning back. All those songs, they're for a reason. Those are people who have gone through a whole bunch of trials in their life, and they know a truth about Scripture. It's better to give everything to God, fully pleasing to Him. Every good work, your whole entire life, say, Jesus, I trust totally on you. But sometimes we turn around and we do the whole diving board thing. It's better just to say, God, take it all. I want to totally please you with my life. All right? And then look what he says to end this thing. He says this in verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now here he's saying, I want you to be able to be strengthened with the power of God. You're trusting in God's will, right? We just talked about God has a plan. You've seen the gospel. You have a reason to trust God's will. Now here's why. It's really, really strong. God's will is so strong. Look at the glorious power of his might. It's unbreakable. God created heaven and earth, and he made every cell in your body, and he made the sun and everything that exists. Do you know how strong and powerful our God is?
Stronger than the Lord.
Yeah, he is. Okay? Really strong. All right? Stronger than the Hulk, stronger than Chuck Norris. He's stronger than the entire universe. You know why? Because he created the entire universe. Well, if we know that, there's that knowledge part, right? Well, here's the deal. When you actually apply it and it becomes wisdom to say, I'm actually going to apply knowing how strong you are, I'm really going to believe it and act on it. I'm really going to throw myself out and depend on your will. All of a sudden, we have a reason to believe God will do what God says he'll do. Because we know how big he is, but we don't just know it. We really act on it. And look why it says, for all endurance and patience with joy. And you guys are still young. You probably haven't gone through a whole lot. Some of you guys might have. You've had some hard times already in your life. But times are going to come one way or another, whether you've seen them or not, where there's trials, where bad things are going to happen, where you're going to sit and have a broken heart one day and you're just going to be sitting by yourself and you need to look up to God and say, you know what? I have a decision right now to make. Am I going to run back and try to take control because I'm scared and I'm hurting? Or am I going to say, you've got to take it all, God. I trust your will. I trust all of it. And you're strong and you're powerful. And right now I'm scared and hurting, but I'm going to trust you completely because you give me endurance and patience with joy, it says. I can take the trials. I can take the pain because I know you're bigger. And then it says this, giving thanks to the Father. Imagine you're going through a hard time and you're still able to look up to God and say, thank you. Like, I know my heart's hurting, God, right now, and this situation stinks that I'm in. But thank you because you love me. Thank you, and we'll see why next. Thank you because of this. You have qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a big, long, wordy phrase. Are there any really smart people in here who could tell me what that means? To be qualified to share in the inheritance of saints in light. What do you think that means? Anyone know what the word qualify means?
Not qualified, but does that mean like that
he
let you go to heaven?
There you go. That's a great summary. That Jesus Christ has made a way for you to be able to go to heaven. That you're a saint and you get to be in the light of God in heaven and that you're qualified to share in that. This inheritance, you guys know what inheritance is? We've talked about that before.
Like when you get something from someone, like you inherit their money or clothes when they pass.
Yeah, when they pass, they leave it to you. The inheritance that we get because of what Jesus did is salvation. We get life. We get eternal life. And so as we look at the trials that come, we're able to endure them, and we're able to thank God even in the middle of them. You know why? Because of what we studied last week, that hope stored up for you in heaven. This inheritance is that hope that I'm not going to be in this trial forever. I'm heading to heaven. And I can't wait for heaven. You know who did that for us? It was Jesus. And it says this next to end it. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He took us out of sin and death, and he put us straight into this kingdom of Jesus, his inheritance of salvation, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has forgiven your sin so you can be with Christ. Now, Paul, I love how he takes all of this that he's talking about and he brings it down to this one awesome point, Jesus Christ. Everything that I'm telling you, the most important thing I'm going to leave you with is Jesus. It's the gospel. Now, I was eating in this one restaurant. It was like one of those little diners that has like the opening window where you can see the cooks kind of behind there, you know, and they go up and they stick the ticket up in the window and the cook takes it and he throws it up on the, you know, like a burger joint type place, a little cafe, usually dirty, usually got some cockroaches and rats. I was in one of those places once in Virginia, good old Virginia. And I'm sitting down and my table is like right kind of in front of where that window is. And the waiter comes out and they're standing right in front, like in between me and the window. So as I'm looking at the waiter and they're explaining the specials of the day, which were kind of weird anyway, I'm looking through the window and I see the cook kind of like in the back thinking, I guess, nobody could see him. And he was having a good old time. He was making food, but he was also making something else. He was making a little booger ball. And yeah, dude, his finger was so far up his nose, I thought he was scratching his brain. It was just like, scritch, 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 scritch. And I'm just like, oh, like what? Like really, you're doing that right now? And I could see him, and I know he didn't think anyone else could see him. And I'm just watching him like, what? And the waiter's like looking at me trying to tell me the specials. And I'm like, I can't stop looking. You know, like I had to keep looking at the dude picking his nose in the back. I'm like, that guy's going to touch my food. Like that's the dude who's going to make my burger with that nasty booger hand. And I don't want a booger, I want a burger. You know, and so this is nasty. And so I couldn't stop looking at the most important thing at the moment, which was don't touch my food. You know, like I don't want to get sick. And, the waiter just didn't like that. The waiter wanted me to pay attention. He's like, and sticking his head in the way, trying to tell me the specials. But here's the deal, that my eyes kept getting pulled back to the most important thing. As Paul's talking to us here, he's telling us a whole lot of info, guys. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about God's will. The most important thing is what he wants to draw our attention to. Aside from everything else, the most important thing is always drawn to Jesus Christ. That as we end this, the thing that we take away here today is that we remember what Jesus did for us. That all of this is possible because Jesus died for you. Because Jesus loves you enough to give his life for you. He's not just the guy we tell a story about. He's the creator of heaven and earth who said, I'm giving it up for you. And you put your name in that blank. He knew you. He has a plan for you. He loves you. And this is his will. That you know Jesus. That you give your whole life to Jesus. And now we can take that snapshot a little bit clearer because we see why Jesus Christ did it all for you. Will you pray with me? Lord, we love you so much. And we thank you that as we go through this, you're kind of making this whole thing clearer for us. We're getting a better picture of who you are and who we are and what life is about. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that you tell us your will. We don't have to stand around and kind of figure it out ourselves or come up with our own ideas about it. You tell us. And so I pray that we follow that. We apply it to our lives by loving you, by loving others, and by sharing your gospel. We love you, Christ. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.